Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome, everyone, to the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. I'm David Kitchen, joined by Peter Overzet and Davis Matic. And listen, there's a fundamental difference that we're going to have to get through. Three letters, ADP. What do those letters mean? Well, the A is average. Do you want to be average? This show's not average. Some might even say it's below average. But regardless, it's not an average show. And we don't draft average on here. It's a Swolecast.com where we draft big, we don't draft average, and we live a little.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I'm begging you, don't dupe me, bro.
It's the poop narrative.
Kitchen's been waiting to say those words.
No.
For 5 years.
Welcome, everyone, to the Swolecast. Gentlemen, how's this going?
Great. Doing good. I'm still just trying to process your cold open, the amount of work that went into scripting that, but not enough work into rehearsing it, evidently.
No, it's, you know, cold opens, they some hit, some don't, just like some of your players in your best ball drafts. So I guess you guys would want me to just do average cold open. Hey, hi. This is the Swolecast.
So I've been thinking of a way to explain ADP to you in a way that your brain would understand. And I think I actually got a way where you'll understand. Imagine if instead of just going to OpenSea and going to the Mooncats collection, instead of paying the floor price for an unclaimed Mooncat, you just bid everything at like 100 wrapped ETH bids. That is the equivalent.
Yeah, it's called a collection offer. Collection. Yeah.
I really thought that would land for you, but appears it did not.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't hate ADP, but when it comes to a best ball tournament where there are 500,000 entries, I don't think that the framework for roster construction should be ADP. The stack is okay as long as it fits within my plus minus deviation of average draft position.
The way to win is to pay a worse price than all of the other 400,000 contestants that you're playing against.
Yeah, Davis, I would have thought that in the past week you would have seen some things that have made you come around on ADP, but it sounds like you are still in the frame of mind where you have to draft ADP to win this tournament.
What would have been the thing that would have changed my mind?
My tweets, the show last week resonating with you, giving you some time to think about it. For instance, Chess Liam Murphy. Liam Murphy agreeing with me. Who is Liam Murphy? Oh, I'm glad you asked. He actually won the $1 million last year.
He's also streaming with a Bachelor contestant here in 25 minutes. If you guys get sick of this show, you could go check that out.
Amazing.
Here's the thing, Dave. Like so many talking points within the best ball space, there's a lot of straw men out there, and whatever the flavor of the discourse of the week is becomes the thing that everyone says, well, you can't just focus on that. And the truth is that we're juggling a lot of elements here, and we're trying to put the pieces together. And ADP is one of those pieces. We also care about correlation. We also care about getting unique. We're trying to borrow a term from Davis, pull these levers in different ways. And I would argue that ADP isn't the only thing that matters, but I think you can do all the other things we want within the ADP framework. And you probably are prone to making more mistakes by I know bettering the ADP than you are correlating within the structures of ADP as it exists.
I get it. I'm just glad that you're coming around to the point of, hey, if you want to min cash from a plus EV perspective, sure. Draft based on ADP, value-based drafting, I don't hate it. If you're trying to win this thing, I just don't think you can be a min cashmatic and base everything off of where the market has placed that particular player.
See, here's the thing. You could sell me on this if you can convince me that when you're reaching via ADP, you are actually doing it in ways that are giving unique combinations. Like if you told me you were taking AJ Brown at the 1-2 turn because the drafters who draft there normally will never have access to AJ Brown coming back in the third, and pairing him up with CeeDee Lamb will be a unique combination, I'm willing to entertain that argument. But if you're telling me you're just
reaching, I would entertain that as well.
But if you're telling me you're just reaching like two rounds for MVS to stack with Mahomes, then I think it's ridiculous, because there's going to be teams who have that same stack at a much better price with extra players.
Well, it's ridiculous because Juju would be the stack with
don't Kansas. Lose the forest for the trees here, Dave.
He's trying so hard.
No, I'm glad that you guys are at least admitting that there are possibilities where ADP doesn't matter. And it sounds like
ADP absolutely matters. The idea that ADP doesn't matter is so nonsensical and farcical. It's literally does not merit a response. But of course it matters. It's just that,
of course, you're giving a response right now.
ADP is just the base layer upon which all of these conversations take place. It is so ingrained in the conversation, it doesn't even merit really having a place in the conversation.
Okay. You guys are telling me that there are certain instances where ADP might not matter, and that was my whole entire point. Is that if you want, there are certain situations where you can reach for a player or players or stacks that you want, combinations that you want, unique combinations that you want, and just forget about ADP in general.
So I will say there's multiple caveats to this. In my video, the reason that you play a little bit of a dangerous game doing that at the top of the draft is because we're still going to see the ADP. Thank you, Sosa, for taking me full screen. We're going to see lots of shakeups with the ADP. So like if you're, you know, say using my example and you reach for AJ Brown there, let's say Devonta Smith gets hurt and AJ Brown gets pushed all the way up into, you know, the late first round, early second. Now there's going to be a million other CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown combos, and you kind of got too cute early on. I think that reaching move works a lot better closer to the season when we have the most information possible. And then I think the best place to get unique is at the end of drafts. You know, your last couple picks, those guys are all similar probability picks to hit, and you're just getting a huge ownership discount because, you know, we looked at it last year, Eli Mitchell drafted in like 5.5% of leagues versus some of those other guys who are drafted in 95% of the leagues, and they're not that different of a play. So I think
I'm not browbeating. I would not browbeat anyone for taking a player who doesn't have an ADP or has a 216 ADP in the 16th round.
Oh, we have arrived, gentlemen. We have arrived.
I am not co-signing taking Treylon Burks, 35 spots ahead of ADP.
Treylon Burks, Davis. And where would you draft him currently? Based on your ADP mindset, where would you draft him?
Like where he goes, maybe a little bit ahead.
So ninth round?
I haven't done an underdog draft since 6 o'clock this morning. So And I didn't take Mr. Burks this morning. I don't know. Well,
and the thing, again, going back to this point, there are players that go in the same range from the same team. And so you have to go above ADP or just hope that no one else.
Well, Dave, critical difference, very difference going above ADP by 5 slots, even 10 slots, 30 slots is to the point in which you are. It's I don't know. It's like, it doesn't even make sense to me.
Another thought experiment where Dave could be right. And let's give him this. Dave, if you were going to draft all 150 of your BBM3 teams within the same, 2 to 3 day window, I would also say, hey, maybe mix it up there because that ADP is going to be fixed in time for that. But if you're drafting all summer like we are and the ADPs are going to be changing, we're going to naturally have very different textures and unique exposures relative to how that ADP shakes out. So we're not just drafting the same guys in every range. Like the ADP is going to be so different here in 2 weeks.
All right. So Davis, what are the, well, there's not 457,000 other draft rooms. So
divide that by 12, but we know what Dylan was saying.
That would be a
lot of draft rooms. I got what you're going for.
Tyler is like, oh, I almost had it.
I got my comment on the big screen and I forgot to do the second leg of the math problem.
It's okay. Basic math, basic public math, not a thing of this show.
Yeah, not required for.
Hang on though, before we move on from this ADP conversation, Sosa, can you bring some evidence up on screen that I wanted to show the viewers about Dave maybe talking out of both sides of his mouth here as far as ADP is concerned?
It might take a while.
Okay, here we go. So Andy here from Rate My League has pulled some of the top teams from the Scott Fishbowl. We see conference four here with our friend Soccer Dave. We got our friend Dricko who actually pointed this out to me. And now if you'll go to the original tweet in this thread so we can see what he's pulling for here. Here are the annual Rate My League SFB rankings. All 3,000 teams ranked based on SFB ADP with a little kick of stack bonus to make it more fun. This is essentially showing us the SFB value hounds and none other than our friend Soccer Dave, who may or may not have been using the Spike Week Josh ADHD ADP tool to inform some of his selections throughout the draft. What do you have to say for yourself, Dave?
Oh, Peter, you ignorant slut. Yes, it's a good draft based by ADP. I like value.
But to hoist you by your own petard, we can't say if it's a good team or not.
I like value
in the Scott Fishbowl. I don't hate value-based drafting. I love it. But best ball is different than Scott Fishbowl. Guys, live a little. Please understand. In a best ball draft, all you're doing is drafting. In the Scott Fishbowl, there are more layers to this onion. There are drops, ads, waivers. There's head-to-head competition. So it's not just one thing. I enjoy a good value hound, Yelp or Howl, whatever it is.
You couldn't backpedal any faster, Dave.
No, if I can compliment, so drafted a good Scott Fishbowl team. Ooh, you got me.
If I can compliment Soccer Dave on this though, it is a brilliant move for someone who doesn't want to work hard at best ball or really think about what they're doing. To actually make that a branded thing. Like people are going to remember the live a little bro thing for years. Right. And you will not be forced to draft good teams, but you have become a man of the people simply by just being like, I just want to draft players I like.
Oh, my thing is
very smart of you.
My framework is not ADP. If it, ADP is involved in the conversation. Like Pete said, Pete's a smart guy. He understands there are multiple ingredients into this best ball cake. So he's not going to say anything is like, nothing else matters except this, like week 17 matchups. He's not going to say that. So there are a ton of stuff that goes into this. ADP is one of them, but also for me, I don't value ADP as much as you do. I value correlations and team stacks and players with a maximum ceiling. Davis, have fun. Have fun with your average bros. I'm drafting just guys that have
a ceiling. David's a straw man. I just said we're doing all those same things, but within the ADP framework. And
I just said I don't mind ADP either. I'm focused on the correlations.
I don't mind the entire basis of the game in which I'm playing, but is a brilliant sentence.
Here's a question. Let's do this thought experiment for Kitchen. Kitchen, if you knew Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be this year's wide receiver one, he was basically going to replicate what Cooper Kupp did last year, going in a similar range.
Yeah.
Am
I leaving it up to chance that he's going to get there where
I'm saying, where would you select him? Would you select him with your first round pick 100% of the time?
No, I would select
Why not? You have the knowledge that he's going to be the number one wide receiver. Why are you playing into this ADP construct?
No, I'm still going to be drafting him ahead of his ADP because I know that's going to be there, right? I'm still drafting him one, maybe even two rounds above his ADP because I don't want anyone else to get him. If he's the first round guy, I don't want anybody else to get him. But that's what I'm doing with Treylon Burks. I'm not waiting to the ninth round to see maybe he falls to me, maybe not. No. I'm going to get that guy. I've got, 85% exposure, Treylon Burks? He's my guy this year.
85% exposure.
No, yeah. But Kitchen, if Juju's ADP is in the mid-fifth, would you take him in the fourth round every time? Or would you ever take him in the third round?
Yes, I would take him in the fourth round every time.
But you wouldn't take him in the third because you know you could get other good players to pair with him, even knowing that he's going to be the best player in all of fantasy. You are tethered to ADP, and you don't even want to admit it.
But my leash is much longer where it's not about where the average is. It's about where I know I can get him, where I have almost complete certainty where I can get him, whereas you guys are leaving it up to chance where you're going. And there are other things, too. ADP with a 12-man roster. I'm going to get kind of next level, Davis. You might need to concentrate. I know you're probably doing, whatever. What are you doing right now, Davis?
Women's European Championship.
I knew it was going to be something because you weren't plugged in. Let's say you are on the turn, you're on the wheel, and it's going to be 18 picks before it gets back to you, right?
Incorrect math, but sure.
22 picks before it gets back to you, wherever you are at the end. Are you going to wait for 22 picks to get there? Or if you've got Judy and Sutton, are you going to draft Russell Wilson there two rounds before his ADP? I say that's perfectly fine. If you want to complete your stack and you want to say ADP, who cares?
I mean, what we're getting down to is how much is the correlation boost worth? I would argue that I would just line up those double stacks when the draft falls to me because there's going to be other stacks I can get later in the draft. In Kitchen, the other thing, too, is
have fun with your jet stacks, Peter.
Jet stack. The problem is it goes back to this thing, Dave. You're not the only genius in the world that wants to stack Russell Wilson with his two best pass catchers, right? And there's going to be more patient versions of you that have that same exact stack with better players in between because they were more patient. So now you just have a watered-down version of other lineups.
Can you put Ricky's comment on the screen?
Oh, Ricky, maybe come on.
Maybe Kitchen makes sense. Ricky. I mean, I think... I think I'm speaking perfect.
Yeah, everyone who thinks Kitchen makes sense, please join all of my Best Ball Mania threes when I'm doing my morning draft.
Oh yeah, I've got to min cash this so hard. Okay, so,
babe, this is you. You said you're going to be a dad influencer. You need to do a very hyper niche Best Ball dad influencer. Just like
I'm just taking who I want while I chase my kids around the backyard. It's like I just star the Titans and take. You those should guys.
Do the lifestyle brand where it's like the underdog cardio club. It's the kitchen grill club. You draft a team while you're flipping burgers out there for the fam.
Speaking of old guys, Julio Jones goes to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yes, I did get him at the end of the Scott Fishbowl draft. Probably helped in that ranking that I got when they said I was one of the best teams and best drafters amongst experts. I also got him in that draft that we did, the live draft that we did. I thought he was going to the Ravens. Now he's Bucs.
Even though I told you he was going to the Buccaneers?
Yeah, Davis. Yeah, because you're always right. And I didn't get that. I assume you had inside sources. But what are we doing with Julio Jones now?
Can we first, before we, forecast, can we get the boots on the ground take? I mean, you were watching this guy up close. You were bumping into him at the Whole Foods in the suburbs of Nashville. I mean, is this guy cooked or not?
I don't know. I think he was severely out of shape last year. And we know he's had soft tissue injuries, but can he
like cardiovascularly out of shape or like weak?
No, like cardiovascularly out of shape. That week one game, boots on the ground being right behind the sideline where he was having to come out every single play, winded. That was like an eye opening take for me. Like it was clear. So if he can be in shape, I still think.
Well, he probably knew there was 0% chance of winning a Super Bowl with Tennessee, but now he's motivated by the ring, so he'll probably get up and jog a little bit more.
That's right. When he's got Tom Brady yelling at him instead of Tannehill, then yeah, sure. But we're 14th round ADP, 15th round ADP.
I got a supposition to throw out to you two in the chat. Is Julio Jones our first? You can't take him anymore. Because Best Ball Mania, because the price is so bad. Like it was like Daryl Henderson, if I remember correctly, was our first guy last year, where it was like, what's the point of even drafting a Best Ball Mania? The winner's already been drafted. Is Julio Jones our first example of this? Why you shouldn't be drafting a Best Ball Mania 3 anymore?
The reason I say it won't be is because I was reading just some replies. I saw Sam Wallace put up a poll yesterday of where will you take Julio, and I was reading through the replies. And the amount of pushback, the amount of I will not touch him. Like, I don't think I quite realized how much, the normies are just over.
They think he's cooked.
The normies didn't really like him when he was great. Like, Josh's whole, never Julio
never
thing.
Never touchdown.
Like, never Julio because he didn't score.
So, I actually think that's a cogent point, Peter. I don't think he is going to end up getting, mega steamed.
How are you drafting him, then?
Well, I just want to walk that back because it is hilarious because we're all victory lapping our 17th and 18th round Julio shares, but it's not even going to get steamed up to a victory lap worthy.
I'm just victory lapping that I wasn't one of the people pressing the button on Russell Gage in the sixth round, which might go down as one of the worst fantasy picks of all time.
Who was steaming up Russell Gage?
It was Fantasy Mojo. I don't know. I just like to give him a hard time.
Why do you keep dragging Mojo?
because he gave me a hard time last year. Because Gage,
you put him on the list. You put him on Davis's list for
you guys. You guys know
Mojo in my mentions. I was like, this seems uncalled for.
It was. That was uncalled for. Mojo, if you're listening,
Rick Rode, Mojo.
Oh, I can't even imagine what Rick Rode's spreadsheets say about Russell Gage. Feels like right in his wheelhouse to just be all over this guy. But I mean, Pete, to your point, literally, who were the people taking him? Like, how did Russell Gage end up the wide receiver 34? I don't know.
I'll tell you how. It's the same reason running backs end up in the dead zone, right? Because people look at season-long projections, and you do a median projection, and when there's no Julio around and you're projecting Godwin to miss 8 games, of course Russell Gage is going to look good on paper.
Sure. Yeah. It just is insane to me. I don't know. All right. I've never gotten the Russell Gage thing.
So where are you drafting Julio?
I mean, I think right where Sammy Watkins goes is a good point where I am going to start thinking about it.
Where's Watkins going? Like 15th?
Like 15th, like wide receiver 75. And I could be being too conservative, right? Like if Dave is right about him being out of shape and he's in much better shape this year. I mean, 35-year-old Antonio Brown, Brady,
right?
Until AB like walked off the field or whatever happened. I don't remember if there was an injury in there or not.
Well, there was an injury. He said they made him play through. So
they were up until the point where AB was not with the team. They had supported three top 25 fantasy wide receivers Brady had. And Gronk was still a top 10 tight end too. And you take all of Gronk. I mean, you know, I just don't expect Kate Otten or Kyle Rudolph to earn much of a target share there.
I mean, when I'm looking at names ADP wise, like I'm taking DJ Chark over him. I'm taking Nico Collins over him. I guess when you get to that, like Marvin Jones, Corey Davis, like range, I think it's part of the conversation.
I would take Julio Jones over Marvin Jones.
Right. That's really? Yeah. That's where kind of I was thinking that breaking point is, because you're kind of debating him between some of those rookies, Alec Pierce and Pickens. Because the thing with Julio that excites me, it's not like the Antonio Brown where he's like has a 60% snap share and is super efficient. It's that like Godwin's injury lingers. That Mike Evans gets hurt. More like the contingent value of if all of a sudden you're getting a 20%+ target share with Tom Brady, like you're going to be ripping.
I would say like also depends on the texture of the team. Like if, like, for example, if I took Garrett Wilson, Jalen Tolbert and some other rookie wide receiver, it's like, maybe I want to take Julio on this team. Cause I feel like he's at least going to be active the first month of the season at like, while Godwin is coming back, but maybe less likely to take him at all on a team where it's like, I have Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown and, you know, pick your veteran wide receiver, MBS, whoever, you know, where the week it's unlikely he's making your week 17 lineup.
Yeah. I mean, you can't draft him with the other two studs there.
Actually, I'd be a little bit interested in taking him with Godwin, because then you kind of get the complementary production where, well, Godwin's right, ramping up, Julio's playing more.
And well, your lineup then tells a story that Evans is not playing,
or just is inefficient, or just that Julio is so cheap that 800 yards and two touchdowns is more than enough at that price.
I think I am kind of excited. I had not been drafting much Mike Evans early second, not because of I thought Julio was going to side there, but just because I thought the Godwin stuff wasn't properly priced in. And now, though, I'm kind of excited. Like, where do we think Evans falls to? Like, mid to late third?
Oh, I mean, shit. If he gets there, I'm going to be low. I mean, because if Godwin and Evans, if we were guaranteed 17 games of health, Godwin would go ahead of Mike Evans, right?
I think so. Yeah, the people love Godwin.
Yeah, so I would be crushing Evans at that. Like, if Evans gets cheaper than T and AJ Brown, because I think there's that big tier break from T and AJ Brown to Keenan, Pittman, Mike Williams. If he goes in that tier, he is like an auto click, I think.
I mean, but why are we even talking about where they're going to go in drafts? Like, don't you just draft Mike Evans if you want him? Like, if you want Mike Evans in the first, right, Dave?
Just take him.
If you want a Brady stack with Evans, absolutely.
Yeah, why are we talking about Julio Jones' ADP?
I don't have much Mike Evans because other people were drafting him too high.
Dave, if there was an ADP, we'd literally have nothing to talk about. Literally, it'd be every week. Who are your top five players in the NFL?
Who are your top stacks? What are the
this video would lives? Actually get way more views if we just did our top.
Oh yeah,
five. If we just did. These are our top five quarterbacks, and guess
Unlocking
what?
Mahomes the secrets.
Is at number one.
Unlocking the secrets of Best Ball 2022. Yeah, I mean, we are going to ask some of these questions just because people want to know. On Rotor Grinders, we have these expert we call it an expert survey, and that's where we ask all the DFS experts such as Tuttle. I don't know if I've ever been on the expert survey, but we ask
I've been on the people. Expert survey
I don't yeah listen you're welcome. So anyways, you have these questions. Who are your top stacks? You know, who's your top pitcher? And then there's another question is, who are you afraid of being underweight on?
So I think there's only one answer to this question.
All right. Who is it, Davis?
Zeke. Zeke, if he stays healthy for 17 games, could just absolutely stone cold smash me.
A few weeks ago, you said he was dust.
He is dust.
And you were laughing. You were laughing at people saying that Zeke was a fourth round value.
Well, it is. It is completely absurd. But obviously, that's why I'm afraid of it.
The two guys I'm worried about getting buried by are Joe Mixon and David Montgomery. If those are the guys you need, I'm fucking toasted. I just like
my bags are packed on Mixon. I'm good. There.
Even when I'm diversifying and like getting guys, and it's like, I don't like Josh Jacobs that much. I'll grab him. I'm not a big Najee guy. I'll grab him. But like, I just do not take Mixon and David Montgomery at their prices.
What's the bear case on Mixon? Just they're not going to play him on third downs at all.
Yeah, the mainly the pass catching. I like Swift a lot more.
I like Swift more too.
Josh actually said Pete seems like a Swift stan now. So
I just did my Scott Fishbowl team had Swift. My Pros vs. Joe's team had Swift. Apparently, I've planted my flag on DeAndre Swift Island.
I've got a few mix and shares. The guy who I might not have any shares of is Jonathan Taylor.
Why?
No, honestly.
No early picks? You guys don't get the influencer 101s?
No, I will draft someone else other than him.
I'm just taking McCaffrey now when I get one. I think it might be a true generational wealth, like buying Bitcoin in 2013 thing to be able to go into the season with 20% of your teams having Christian McCaffrey on them. Like,
yeah,
sure. Maybe he, you know, injures his hammy in week three or whatever. But when McCaffrey is active, he's like 4 points per game better than every other player in fantasy.
Taylor is not going to lead anyone to the promised land.
I'm not going to go that far.
Whatever.
I'm not going to go that far. It's just I'm very, like, I keep coming back to the fact that as their games got more, that is insane. Mr. Pecan Pecan, I'm not going that far. I don't want to have zero Jonathan Taylor. I think I'll check my underdog right now.
You can't diversify your way to $2 million.
I can't remember. Is that Hayden or Bimefor? Which one of those? Like,
I don't know. All the echo chambers all sound the same to me now.
Yeah. So I have 4% Jonathan Taylor, which is like, so that means half the time I'm taking him, half the time I'm taking CMC. And that feels about right.
What if Jonathan Taylor is the guy you need? No, but like, just not joking. What if he's the guy you need?
Then you're out. It's like your weekly tournaments where like the one guy scores four touchdowns.
It's just one slate, dude.
I'm with you guys of if you just like did this sick, cruel exercise where you said, Pete, gun to your head, rank the top five players. I probably am taking Jonathan Taylor after those five, but he is still very much a part of that elite tier. And I want,
well, you know, another thing that I've been thinking with taking CMC is I think the market is going to agree with me in like 2 weeks. And I think pretty soon you're going to be able to take him second and third sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, what are your thoughts on the market moving that way, or it just doesn't matter?
Draft whoever you want, live a little. It's my thing is you go for upside. I go for upside. I'm not going to min cash here.
Can we give Sosa a round of applause? I mean, he's making his production bucks here, getting the live a little banner up there on the ones and twos. We love you, Sosa.
All right. So first of all, shout out to Spike Week. Because their extension is a game changer, especially for the normies like me, because they have.
But Dave, playing...
what's the information that it's displaying that's interesting to you in this tool?
The correlation. Mm. Week 16 and week 17, it'll tell you how much of each player exposure that you have, and it also highlights the player. So let's say you drafted Drake, right? It'll highlight Mariota in a different color so you know that he's on your team. So if you're looking at a big board and you've got all these players, you know the players who are on that team that you have, and also on the opposite team will be highlighted in a different color. So whereas I've said where you guys want to draft ADP so I can get $12 back, I am drafting to win this thing. I'm going for the win. And so correlation is way more important to me than min cashing. So take that for what you will, but the Spike Week tool is the extension, the Chrome extension is awesome. I can't draft on my phone now. I have to draft on my.
Oh, go ahead, Davis.
No, you go first. Mine's more.
I just want to say, I need you to start putting your money where your mouth is, Dave. I need you to start posting some of your screenshots of your teams. I want to see you reaching heavily past ADP to show us this sweet correlation that you are not willing to let fall. I need to start seeing this.
Can you become a best ball bro? Like, that would be amazing to see a David, like the best ball team screenshot. I would love that.
Yeah. Like I want to be careful about my brand here, but
you don't want to post.
Being careful about it now?
You don't want to post a team that's like accidentally good. Like a team where you actually crush it.
Here's the thing, like on DK, doing some of these drafts where then I get distracted. It's tough.
Been there.
You have people in your queue, and like I always say, I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to rearrange it when I go through and star. And like I think I took Higbee like in the eighth round.
I take Kelce a lot on DraftKings. So then you star the Chiefs. So I've gotten auto drafted McKinnon because, you know, you do Chiefs and you go all the way down, star them all the way. So I've gotten McKinnon in like the 12th round, like a bunch of times.
But see, that's a way you're differentiating. That's the way I think of it. So I try not to.
No one has that combo, baby.
All right. So you want to guess the most drafted player I have on my team.
Tannehill or Burks or Hooper.
Can we pull up your exposure? Because last time you pulled it up, you had done two drafts, but now you're a best ball thought leader.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
Yeah, can
please
we get that?
Please blur out the dollar entries to protect the innocent.
That is my favorite thing that people do on Twitter. No one cares how much you draft, bro. I promise I don't care.
Trust me, I don't give a shit what you say regardless, and I certainly don't give a shit based on how much money you put in.
There are people that do care, but you shouldn't even... All right. Oh, man. It says Chrome has lost permission to capture your screen. I have to go to system preferences.
Tough scenes.
Ooh. All right. So I'll just have to boomer alert. Burks, 83%. He is my most drafted player.
How many times?
That's just in the best ball millionaire. So that's 10. With Burks.
So you've taken him in 8 out of 10. Okay.
Let me go to all tournaments because on DK.
Dave was popping in that Pomeranian.
No, see, I've been playing more on DK than underdog lately because
I think that's a good call for you.
Yeah. I think
because
you can.
Would you say it's because the ADPs are softer on DraftKings?
I would just say everyone kind of takes a little attitude towards drafting on DK. So,
all right, and I'm going to share with everyone. This might be a minus EV, but it's okay because I want to give back. So, my strategy, according to Spike Week's tools, 90% of my team builds are in the elite tight end category.
If Spike Week doesn't add a filter for one of the structural strategies called live a little and just put every single one of your drafts tagged as that, I mean, that's a huge failure.
Yeah, 5-4. What are we doing, buddy? We gotta get it done.
This is what you need to have a filter in there where if you take X amount of players over above ADP, that you just get a live a little tag next to it.
I think the problem is people using Spike Week tools are not doing live a little drafting. Oh, Bullock.
Get out of here, Bullock. I mean,
this is awful.
I don't even agree with that. I've been drafting on DraftKings way more, but part of the reason is that I dropped on the desktop. Just the Spike Week extension. And because on the app, it's really tough and your thumbs have to just keep on going from place to place. All right. So, I do like the Spike Week tools now that I'm in. I've drafted over 20 drafts, I think 27 drafts now. I said I'd get to 100. I think I'll get there. So,
how many do you think you'll put in BBM3?
10, maybe. I would much rather. I enjoy the interface. It's like drafting in FanDuel for DFS. If you look at 1099s, FanDuel way better for me than DraftKings. I enjoy the experience of DraftKings a lot better. And the same thing for the underdog and DraftKings. So underdog's draft experience is unmatched. By the way, hat tip to them. Series B funding.
Thanks, Dave. Peter, I appreciate that. Yeah, Peter. Built that brick by brick.
Peter, you have contributed a lot to the underdog brand. You kind of gave them credibility. And I hope that you're seeing that. I hope that you're seeing that in the paycheck this week.
Yeah, Pete and Jeff Epstein.
Well, I remember the other Jeff Epstein. I remember emailing David Gamboa because I had started doing randomizer drafts. And I initially had started doing them on Drafters because Underdog was in limbo between draft and launching Underdog. And so there was no other best ball platform to do that. And I remember emailing Gamby, like he was running their marketing at the time. They had like three people at like, you know, it would have been May of 2020. And the, how far they've come since there is pretty insane.
Yeah. And I think they want this Wolcast too. But
yeah, totally. We'll see. Good business investment. Well, BlackRock, BlackRock, they buy single family homes and rent them out at absurd prices. The Swolecast and niche best ball fantasy software is really BlackRock's kind of the three core things they're really into.
I'm just saying Peter gave the underdog credibility as like a cool place to draft. You know, Pete's like the
I actually completely agree with this take. I think they're the Twitter experience and UD supremacy would be different without Pete.
Yes. Okay. Like, imagine if it was just Jack.
just Jack, Hayden, and Josh Norris. What a
Jack
trio.
Just on TikTok. okay. let's get to some questions that we have for this week. Some of them are pretty good.
We have listener questions on the program?
Yes. Yeah, we do. Liam Murphy, at what age do we need to accept we will not be a professional athlete? Davis, you are the only professional athlete on this show. So says you.
So semi-professional.
Semi-professional. You got paid in swag for skateboarding once upon a time, so you're a professional athlete.
I got paid cash.
How much cash?
I mean, if you want it, I mean, it depends on your definition of professional. You can go be like a PGA, a golf mini tour grinder for like 40. Why not?
Okay, so 40 is the age. I'd say it depends.
I would say if you're defining it as like actually professional, I would say you'll know by the time you're like, 17.
Yeah. Look at what look at what Andy has done with the Fantasy Footballers. They're another podcast similar to Swolecast, similar size. As far as his. He has picked up the sport of pickleball.
And he
is like going to tournaments now. He's about my age, so upper 30s. And he could be sponsored, I'm sure. So I'd say a major sport, you got to give up like, you know, mid-20s. Niche sport, yeah, you could be upper 30s. Sure, why not?
Well, and that's the thing, right? If you... Let's just be honest. The odds are against you if you want to be a professional NBA, NHL, NFL player. But if you start young, someone talking about pickleball in there, like pick one of these random ass sports.
Cornhole. You know, I've seen televised cornhole.
Yeah. Pick one of these random ones, devote your entire life to it. I don't think you ever have to give up. Yeah, I'll see you on ESPN throwing darts someday if you want to devote 8 hours of your life every day.
The darts world championship is, it's funny because it looks exactly what you think it's old English guys who look like a leftover like bag of milk throwing dart. It is hilarious.
And sometimes it just like, you know, if you have the talent or not, you know, with me being a DraftKings professional, a DK pro, as I once was, it was purely a talent thing.
Did they ever strip you of that? Are you a DK pro in perpetuity?
Former
they did. They I believe right around Ethan Gate, they were like, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah, that cease and desist letter has nothing to do with they can't take that away from me.
Do you think Underdog should roll out an Underdog Pro program?
They already have.
It's so funny. Pete, your boys, your club NGMI boys have like started this theory of like the underdog cabal. Like there's like this secret group of guys who have access to all of the underdog APIs. Like they know what percentage of guys are drafted, you know, what, like it's so, and I'm
this
like,
this is what guys, happens when NFT bros are down bad.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, you guys
sure
understand?
They appreciate the conspiracy theories. I'll just show David.
Do you just like, but like,
let's just go ahead and run the establish the run ranks.
No, I'm just saying, it's like, do people understand the amount of legal red tape that is going on with Underdog because they're trying to get into the gaming space? Like they have regulators lawyers, so far up like every inch of operation of that company.
All right. El Bretto says the Adams, Dig, CD, Debo, Evans area, the late first round of best ball drafts is tough to choose. What's the wrong pick there?
Say those names again.
Yes. Yeah, say it again.
The first, second round wide receivers.
Yeah. From Adams to Evans. So Adams, Diggs, CD, Debo, Evans.
If I may proffer a take that it probably will look bad, I think it's got to be Adams. Adams is the one who's most likely to, I think, just end up being super disappointing.
I'm most scared of CD. CD, no. Like, no, there's no, a chance no CD's just not good. No. There's a chance.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Debo. Just because
I can see Debo. I mean, the thing about Debo is you take away all the rushing last year, he still would have been the wide receiver 10.
Yeah.
So
fact is, I think he might be more susceptible to injury because of the rushing role. And also, well, San Francisco, you just don't know. You just every year with San Francisco is a big roll of the dice.
What if Brandon Ayuk is the 49ers Debo Samuel? Have you thought about it?
Another Kittle year.
The thing, it goes again back to the thing, like no one has zero doubt that Debo Samuel is good at football. Like the dude is just fucking good. Like there's reason to be suspicious about CeeDee Lamb and why he didn't take that leap last year. And now we're drafting him higher than
I'm
where
not,
he was going
I'm not,
last year.
I'm not on the record. I'm not co-signing this. I think CeeDee is gonna absolutely.
Well, you
absolutely
did this.
It, and I think the biggest reason, and you can say this is maybe evidence that he's not that good, but their most likely schematic is going to be CD being their primary slot wide receiver. And yeah, I know that it's easier to get yards out of the slot and whatever, and maybe that's indicative of him not being as good as we thought he's coming out of Oklahoma, but he is going to get way more layups this year than he got as a rookie or last year.
Do you agree, though,
say that Gallup was looking better today?
Gallup will be back by week 5.
I mean, Davis, don't you think it's a little crazy, though, that he's going higher than he was last year after essentially flopping?
Well, I disagree with the idea that he flopped, but they also traded Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup is coming back from an ACL injury that he suffered late in the season. His target competition week 1 is Dalton Schultz, who no one in fantasy football could pick out of a lineup because he just looks like a guy. James Washington, who did not get offered a second contract by a team that is planning on playing Ray McLeod, major snaps at wide receiver this season, and a small school rookie in Jalen Tolbert.
I mean, that's why he's going in the first round, because everyone looks around.
But I will put it on the record. If CD sucks this year, I will wave the Mecole Hardman flag on him, where I will draft him in secret, but not publicly tout him anymore.
Wow. The stakes are so high.
Everybody waits. All right. This is from DJ Mitchell. It's a good one. It's a family show, so we're going to name it Screw, Marry, Kill. So FMK, you have fantasy Twitter threads. That's the first one. The second one is insanely basic fantasy take tweets.
Okay.
Like everyone forgot how good player X is with a screen cap of them.
Yeah, or be like imagine not drafting
Jamar
Lamb
Chase
this year.
Yeah.
So I just put it in the chat. And the third one is told you so fantasy tweets.
Wow. Okay.
So it depends on if it's a told you so I agreed with, or if it's a told you so on something I was wrong with. Those are going to interact with me in very different ways. Like when everyone was dunking on the Russell Gage drafters, I could read 100 told you not to draft Russell Gage tweets.
Yeah. Okay. What's it going to be? Peter, you start.
Yeah, I'm going to marry insanely basic fantasy tweets. Like I sometimes I find them charming. They're just so overly simplistic. It's so unactual.
I kind of get that.
It's like when I go to my mom's house and I see like all these like blankets and little signs that says like home is where the heart is,
live,
or like
gather.
I love family, live a little. Like it's just so like so stupid and small-minded that I love it. I will marry that. I'll take a nice romp in the bed with told you so fantasy tweets. Like David said, you don't have to live with it forever. Sometimes you like them, you know, sometimes they confirm your prior. So I'll do a one night stand with those, and I will take fantasy Twitter threads out to the woodshed and beat them to a bloody pulp.
So I will marry told you so fantasy tweets because I'm like the king of the told you so fantasy. I do these all the time. So I can't, that would really hurt my Twitter game. I will take a roll in the sheet with fantasy Twitter threads, because some Twitter threads I don't mind. Some of them I don't mind. I get the algorithm, right? I understand. You're trying. Like Twitter is. I think Dave Chappelle said it best. Twitter is not a real place, right? So use it to your advantage. Use it to get followers. Use it to make money, right?
Let's just quit the Dave Chappelle quotes there, though. Before we,
Dave Chappelle was really funny up until like 2016, and then it all went down.
Not get us canceled or anything. Gosh.
And then the insanely live laugh. The Mahomes stuff is like, by the way, and the Mahomes stuff is such cat bait too, because either way you go, immediate 10 retweets, 150 faves of if you do can't believe how bad Mahomes was against the Bengals, or can't believe people think Mahomes isn't the best court. Like he's the best for that. Lamar Jackson too is really good for engagement farming. But and then I gotta kill the insanely basic. I don't even get that charm from it. It just tilts me.
I was starting out in the Pete camp with the exact same one, and then Davis, you kind of the told you so. I understand that.
Like imagine a world where you can't told you so after he scores three times against the Jaguars, Derrick Henry.
I know. And I'm guilty of that too, but I think that's more of a, it depends on if I agree with him or not. And kind of the whole one night stand thing. So I will, I'll marry the basic tweets. The Twitter threads, I'm going to kill them. However, if we can be honest, I still click the Twitter threads. If Hulka has a 18 thread thing, if this is the one wide receiver, I will just scroll through until I see it. I'm like, that's the guy. I'm not reading all 18 tweets.
I don't click the football ones. The football ones are boring to me because I just already know. It's like I've been drafting
I'm the same way. I don't give a shit about the football ones. I like the
I read all the Hulka's life hack ones, right? Because that shit that's actually interesting to me, and it might teach me something I don't know. But like, you're not going to tell me something about Christian Kirk I don't know.
Why would I listen to a 3-hour Huberman lab pod when I could just get it all in one tweet thread?
literally, exactly, right?
I do though appreciate those. Go ahead.
I'll say the one reason why I definitely wouldn't kill the I told you so is because those often backfire on people, because what you're doing is you're putting like a screaming billboard up to be like, go dig through all my other takes and find the times that I was wrong. And so
this is the Davis Matic. This is Davis Matic playbook right here, where someone makes fun of Davis. And so he will go through their timeline.
Don't do it, man. It normally does not end well for people to do this to me.
He'll pull up like a 2015 thread of, oh, nice take. Was this you, bro? And it's just like some random player that they're hyping up. So, kind of.
Well, Mahomes used to be good for that for a while, because Mahomes had a lot of doubters pre-Super Bowl. So there was a while where you could just cough in lots of people who were like, oh, it was just,
And the told you so also lends itself to the freezing cold takes.
Gathering of negativity.
A gathering of negativity. Davis, do you think in the past, was that 2 or 3 years ago that happened to you? Have you come around any on your stance?
That's a bad account. It shouldn't exist.
But do you, if it would have happened to you today, you're about to be a married man. You're older. You're in
your
30s,
it couldn't happen to me today because I deleted all my tweets.
Okay. So if it did, though, would you get as upset?
No, I just would not respond. People who nag me now, I just immediately mute or block. And then
that's personal growth, Davis. That's personal growth right there.
I just don't have the time anymore. I used to have a lot more time.
I don't know. Yeah. All right, Peter, you got anything?
I was just going to say there could honestly at this point with like best ball thought leader saturation, there could be a best ball freezing cold takes Twitter account. Just
absolutely.
I mean, I do think it'd be fun to go back if you had the time of a year ago. Like, obviously, someone went back and did the cap of me saying that I would never sell.
I'll always own a Bored Ape.
I'll always own a Bored Ape. Yeah. So, like, those are fun. I appreciate those. I think it'd be fun to go back a year ago to see, okay, who were we? Who are we just, like, absolutely high on? Who are we not high on that throw in your face? I enjoy stuff like that. I enjoy throwing it in your face and getting it thrown in my face. All right, Peter, what do you have?
You want me to just carry the show right now? Just
yeah, I wouldn't know if you have anything before
you have a hard out.
Yeah.
It's a soft out today, but I'd prefer if it was hard. Do we have any more questions?
That was nice. Can we make that like a recurring thing? I enjoy.
Has any show ever done a mailbag segment?
Yeah, no, like no one's done a mailbag show. We're the only show that does a mailbag. By the way, I did see Silva. He complimented Davis on something that he said. I forget what it even was. I think it was with a thread with Leone. And then he said, RIP Swolecast, RIP in peace, Swolecast. And so then everyone else picked up that as Silva saying,
I had a first with Leone this week where he admitted he was wrong about something before the results came in. So normally like Leone and I would argue about something and then we'll come back to it a year later and be like, well, you know, one of us
was it Gate? No, it was Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. Leone told me I was dumb this whole time for drafting him he was my most drafted tight end, and that the Greg Dulcich FUD has made Albert O much more affordable. So Albert O caught up.
We do have a few minutes. So what training camp buzz has come out in the past few days this week that you're buying?
Nick Underhill's report on Taysom Hill.
Like that's what you're buying. So you're drafting.
I was already buying.
You're drafting
that.
Him as long as he's in that range of ADP.
I think the right way to think about training camp is anything that confirms your priors is all good, and anything that does not confirm your priors is just training camp tweets. It's fluff. Who cares?
Yeah, if we're doing the confirming the priors, I mean the Rondale Moore and LaVisca Chenault buzz right now.
Yes, the Rondale buzz is good.
I've seen the Rondale one. I have not seen the Visca one. What's the Visca one?
It's basically like every tweet you see is him being used like Debo.
He's getting like end arounds. The first touchdown at Jaguars training camp of the whole thing was a LaVisca end around.
So there was that one, and then there was the tweet. So the first one, LaVisca Chenault with a big play on the end around, and then there was the one this morning, 11 on 11, Trevor Lawrence handoff to Chenault. He was in the backfield with ETN lined up wide.
If we want to confirm our priors, given that they probably don't want to smash ETN with 300 touches and James Robinson is going to be working his way back from this Achilles, it's actually a smart way for them to salvage a draft pick that looks terrible. Because let's be honest. Mm. LaVisca is never going to be a wide receiver that can play enough to earn 80 targets or whatever.
It's a new coaching staff. I don't think they care about previously drafted players.
Well, no,
I
but
do
they
think
look,
that James Robinson is a value.
Kitchen's starting to make a whole lot of sense.
I mean, if it's not their guy, it's not their guy.
But it's the same. It's the same GM that took him, though.
GM. All right. I will say someone sent me, they added me on a video of Treylon Burks catching a long touchdown pass from Tanny. So I'll say everything saying that Treylon is now in shape. He's looking good, looking like a first round pick. That's confirming my priors. And it's ridiculous that he's going in the 9th or 10th round. Grab as much of him as you can, ADP bros. All right.
I actually, Dave, I agree with you.
Yeah, if you think he's even half of what AJB is going to be. He's at least a seventh round guy, right, Pete? Come on, Pete. Let's end the show on a high note.
I see you.
Let's end the show on a high note.
It's hard for me to disagree with you on Treylon Burks. I think he's a smash.
There you go. Man, listen, we started out with some disagreements, but sounds like we all came around a little bit. So I came around to the ADP bros, and the ADP bros definitely came around to me. So no need for an intervention next week. I'm not sure who we'll have on next week's show.
Yeah, what's our plan next week?
Yeah, let's have on a big guest.
A big guest?
Yeah, like someone with over 10,000 followers.
We loved having you on last week.
Jeff was really good.
Yeah,
Jeff and Liam are staples of the show, I think. But they do not fall in the big guest category, which they would admit, right?
Do you know who I would like to chop it up with? It's been a while. Yeah. Reeves.
I'll ask him right now.
All right. Let's see if Reeves does it. And if not, let's get Warren on. You know?
Yeah.
Let's get Warren on. Big guest, Tuttle. Tuttle
would be the biggest guest.
Tuttle just randomly pops in the chat sometimes and just says, here's what you should troll. Like, here's who you should troll.
I did get nostalgic watching the full opening video today and seeing Tuttle, seeing the positions for the DFS week up on the board. I mean, we're what, like 5-6 weeks from that show, that opening show?
Yeah. It's going to be great. Preseason starts next week.
Nuts.
Next
Hall
week.
Hall of Fame game?
Hall of Fame game.
Dave, you're going to be grinding Hall of Fame game. Yeah, DFS,
I was about to ask Davis, who is in the Hall of Fame game this year?
I have no idea. I'll find out. I'll find out. I'll find out from Cody Main in 6 days.
Peter, do you know?
I have no idea.
I think the Raiders, I think, are
Raiders
in
and
it?
Jags.
Yeah.
So Sean Newsham, who is a preseason.
Reeves said he's in.
Okay, good. Sean Newsham is actually going to be with the RG crew this year for preseason. So maybe we'll get him on a show just to see him tilt. Sean's like one of the best tilters ever. All right, that will do it. Final thoughts, Davis?
I disagree. He is the worst tilter ever.
Well, it depends on if you find it entertaining or not. If you find the tilt entertaining,
I sweated so many slates with Sean for so long that it lost its charm.
Okay. I get it. Tuttle hates it too. Tuttle, he can be, you know, sometimes he can be a bit critical.
To be fair, I used to be one of the worst tilters. Yeah. I definitely mellowed out on that. I used to be a full, like, lose my mind tilter.
Jordan Case also said he was in the Soccer Dave tree, fully admitted to it. So there you go.
He's literally in my wedding, dude. He is in my tree.
Bro, did you ever stake him on Draft Street? No,
Sosa,
you didn't.
Can you pull up Aaron's comment here?
Come on, Sosa. We need
it. Even Sosa's asleep at the wheel.
He left.
Where's Sosa? Gone. Are we going to even be able to end this show?
All right. Well, Peter, final thoughts. I'm so glad you said it was soft.
Will you at least read this comment, Peter?
How many attempts has Kitchen had to end the show so far? Land the plane, Kitchen.
Well, we can't.
Final thought,
I've
Pete.
Given final thoughts like nine
you
times.
You have not. Usually it's something funny and witty and something we feel good about each other.
I came into this show thinking that ADP was really important. But after hearing Dave make such convincing arguments, I'm going to ask Underdog to just basically black out the ADP number on the draft board because, folks, I just want to
just
live
pick
a little.
Whoever you want.
All right. It's a swolecast.com show here in rotogrinders.com. All the .coms. You go to swolecast.com and go to YouTube to our Swolecast channel where you should like and subscribe. Just live a little. We'll see y'all later. Peace.